Welcome to Chair Chat, an online web series hosted by me, Jamie Harrison, the chairman of the South Carolina Democratic Party. Our goal in this series is to begin to look at political leaders, activists, and people involved in politics in a three-dimensional manner. We will move past the political caricatures to get to know the individual. So now, let's chat. When I think of words like indomitable, smart, fun, you have to think of the governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, a dynamite fundraiser, an entrepreneur, advisor to President and Secretary Clinton, and now in elected office in Virginia. So let's welcome to Chair Chats the great governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe. Welcome, Jamie, Governor.
Great to be with you. Great to be back in South Carolina. Second greatest state in America.
Governor, it seems like you're always in motion.
I am.
Why are you in South Carolina?
I'm down here for your great weekend of Democratic activities for the party. I'm here to represent our next president, the 45th president of the United States, Hillary Clinton. But I love South Carolina. I've spent a lot of time here working in South Carolina. As you know, I was the national party chair who changed the rules that allowed South Carolina to be the first state in the South in the presidential nominating process.
You're a smart man.
I've had a long, great history down here working with your former national chair, Don Fowler, and others. I've just loved South Carolina. And listen, we are going to make this a blue state. Virginia started out red. We are red, we've moved to purple, and in presidential years, we are purple-blue, getting the vote out. So I'm fired up to be here because we are going to make South Carolina a Democratic state.
Well, thank you. Well, listen, you know, as I was doing my research preparing for this interview, I ran across a story, and I wanted to ask you about it. I know that you're one of the best fundraisers in the country. But for sheer craziness, I don't think as a party chair, I don't think I could beat wrestling an alligator. Tell us about that.
You know, Jamie, I'll do anything once in life, not twice, once. I've raised a lot of money. You know, I've always done as a volunteer. I do this. I'm passionate about helping candidates and helping the party. I love the Democratic Party. You got to remember, I'm a kid who grew up in upstate New York. I started my first business when I was 14 years old. Because if I didn't start a business at that age, I wasn't going to college. So I got to work. I started over 30 different businesses. I was our nation's youngest bank chairman at the age of 30. I've been an entrepreneur. Someone who's been out there every day going for life, going for gusto. I love life. I don't like to sleep. I say sleep when you're dead. So I like to go round the clock. If there's someone to meet with or talk to, I'm in. I was challenged in 1980. I was working for President Carter. I'd raised a lot of money from the Seminole Indian tribe. I went back for one more donation. I said, Chief, his name was Chief James Billy. I need one more check from you, $15,000. He said, nope, I've given you enough. And I, listen. In fundraising, let's be honest, Jamie, you ask. What's the worst thing they can say?
No.
So I kept going back. He said, all right, I'll give you another 15 if you take part in an ancient tribal custom. I said, smoke a peace pipe or something pretty simple. I said, okay. He said, I want you to wrestle an alligator.
Wow.
I said, are you nuts? I said, the worst thing I've ever seen is a squirrel up there in upstate New York. But he said, oh, it'll be drugged and toothless. I said, I can do that. Long story short, everybody knew about it. I got myself in trouble. I kept telling everybody about it. President Carter called me. I remember President Carter called. He'd heard that I was going to do it and said, oh, you can't do it. Your health. I worry. It's not worth it. I said, oh, no, Mr. President, I'm going to do it. Of course, they didn't tell me it was drugged and toothless. I remember Vice President Mondale, no concern over my health. Go get him. Well, anyways, the big day comes, and one thing leads to another. And because so many people showed up and so many people paid admission and so much press showed up, Chief Billy, they do this every third week and they charge admission. He said, we can't do drugged and toothless. We have to do it like we do it. Now I'm sort of stuck because Newsweek was there, Time was there, and all these cameras. I said, oh my goodness, what do I do now? Everybody knows I'm wrestling this alligator. I said, all right, tell me what to do. We spent about an hour training. And they bring out this, and then we go out to a big pit. And there's all these people and the cameras. And I'm in, a sweatsuit, and they bring out Jumper. 8-9 feet long, about 300 pounds, close to 300 pounds. And they take him off the pickup truck, and he is gigantic. And they put him on the ground, And what you learn if you wrestle an alligator, Jamie, is you get your knees behind his two front legs so he can't back up, and you're on the ground, and then they bring up the snout and you hold it. Now, alligator has very weak muscles to open. They obviously close with 1,000 pounds pressure or whatever, but you also got to be careful of the tail. The tail can snap your vertebrae in half. So you got to be careful. He's trying. An alligator won't attack a human unless you're in the zone of danger. Yeah. Sitting on his back, you're in trouble. And then what they do is then they take – he's got a rope on it, and then when you say ready, and I said ready, they take the rope off. So you are there, and you got to hang on for 3 minutes. Wow. He's swishing his tail trying to knock you over. You got to be careful of your fingers because, you know, you could easily, you know, become a Cheeto. Boom, 3 minutes I did it. He comes up, grabs him, brings him back, and I scoot off the back. Well, to this day, he has got his thumb around his neck that he lost. He wears it.
Well, Governor.
I got all five.
Listen.
In each hand.
I wouldn't be scared about the alligator. I'd be scared about telling my wife that I was wrestling an alligator.
I was single then.
Oh, well. Touche.
Now, many years later, five children later, I don't think I'd do it again. But, you know, I'm always open to opportunities.
Well, you know, one
Jamie, you live once. Go for the gold.
Yeah.
Life is not a dress rehearsal.
You're right on that. One of the things that you mentioned in your remarks, you talked about being an entrepreneur, and particularly being a young entrepreneur. Yeah. There are a lot of young folks, you know, as a former teacher, I saw a lot of young folks who had great ideas, but never knew how to really take those ideas to the next level. Yeah. What advice would you give the young people looking to start business?
And I do this a lot. Obviously, I do a lot of commencement addresses as governor. And I always give the same speech. I have a cabinet meeting every Monday morning from 9 to 10. I give my cabinet the same advice. You got to take risks in life. You got to be bold. And you cannot worry about failure. I have tried so many things in my life. Some have worked. Many haven't. But you know what the key to life is? When you get knocked down and you fail, and you will fail, everybody does, do you get up the next day, dust yourself off, and get back on that arena? I ran for governor in 2009. I ran on a platform of big ideas, wind turbines, renewable energy, things we needed, high-speed rail. And I said, if you don't like my big ideas, don't vote for me. And they didn't. But you know what? I got out of bed the next day and got right back at it. And now I am the 72nd governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia because I got up. People, you know, like to see people get knocked down. They want to see you get back up again. Yeah. So when you go to bed tonight, Jamie, I want you to think of this. Patrick Henry, our first governor. Mm-hmm. Give me liberty, give me death. Our second governor, Thomas Jefferson. Patrick Henry, Thomas Jefferson, Terry McAuliffe. Pretty good lineage, huh?
Well, I know when you were chair at DNC, at the DNC, you'd go into the office every day and you'd say, let's light it up.
Yeah.
Do you do that at the governor's mansion?
Well, similar, but it, you know, then I was trying to motivate 200-300 young grassroots activists who worked for the party, young folks, to get them going. You know, I was double or triple their age, and I wanted to show them if the old man's out here doing it, you can do it too. So, but I do a similar thing. Listen, motivation's important. I want us to be the best state in America. Yeah. You know, I got to compete against 49 governors every day, 200 nations around the globe. So, yeah, I'm fired up every day.
You know, I'm a new dad. I have a little guy, he's 8 months old, and he'll be here at the convention a little later on this afternoon. But how do you do so much? As governor, as a political advisor, as a fundraiser, how do you find the quality time to spend with your children?
Well, and I think that's very important. Forget about being governor and Thomas Jefferson, forget about all that for a second. The most important thing you can do is to be a good parent. So for me, that always comes first. And I've always traveled. I've done businesses all over the globe. I've traveled all over America politically. So I travel a lot. But I always, Jamie, have tried to put an emphasis. If you talk to my kids, I try to get to most of their games. I've been very good. I videotape all their games. I've been doing this now for, my oldest daughter is 23 years old. I miss very few games, so I try to coordinate, if I'm obviously not out of the country, but I try to always coordinate my schedule so that I can go to my children's games. I think that's very important. I try to, if I'm in Richmond or when I was in McLean, get home for dinner. And if I got to go back out again, that's fine. I always tried to see them in the morning before I left. So it's not quantity of time, it's quality of time. And give your children that quality time, because in fairness, there's nothing more important, and be honest with you, nothing more rewarding. You know, Dorothy and I have five children. Yeah. You know, one just got out of college. I have one just about to get out of the Naval Academy. He's about to be commissioned as a second lieutenant. He's going to the Marine Corps.
Congratulations.
I got a daughter who's sophomore at Wake Forest, and then I have a freshman in high school, and I still have a sixth grader. So, you know, I'm still at it. I'll be at this for quite a while longer.
Well, what do you...
So I want you to have five, too.
No, that's not happening.
All right, yeah. Your wife does have more say.
Well, Governor, you're always full. You're going constantly.
Yeah.
What do you do to relax?
Me sitting on a beach is not me. Yeah. It's just not who I am. She will go off and do it herself if she, because I'd drive her crazy. I'd be on my phone the whole time. You know, we get some nice family vacations. We try to do different things, but they're always loaded with activities. Sometimes my children, oh my God, they like hide in the closets when they can hear me coming down, because I'll try to get them outside to go do something. But you know, I just have a lot of energy. I always have. I love life. I want to get every ounce of life I can in. And listen, when they're putting that casket down on the ground, I'm still going to be trying to get something done. I'll be trying to talk to somebody.
When your term for governor is up, mm-hmm. What are you going to do? That energy has to go somewhere. What are you going to focus on?
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do next. Maybe, you know, come down here and succeed as chair of the South Carolina Party. My point is, you don't know what you're going to do. Life takes many different. Enjoy it.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Well, Governor, the last question I have is presidential campaign, 2016. Yeah. And we know that you are very close with the Clintons. Tell us what you think is going to happen, not only in the presidential primary, but what's going to happen in the general election. Who do you think will win the Republican nomination for the president?
Well, let me just say, first as it relates to Hillary, this is going to be a hard-fought battle. It always is. You know, I chaired her 2008. I was her national chairman in 2008. She was way up in the polls, and obviously she didn't win that race, as you know. So you don't know in presidential politics what's going to happen. But Jamie, what I do know, and I've known her since 1980. We're personal friends. We vacation together, our families. I know her on a personal level. I think she'll be a spectacular president. She is smart. She is tough. She knows how to manage. She can relate to folks. And she has experience. I mean, obviously, Secretary of State, United States Senator, First Lady of the United States, First Lady of Arkansas. So she has the experience. The other side, you know, they got so many folks. I think there were 19 people in New Hampshire that's with a couple of them not even showing up.
Exactly.
They're going to go through a long, tough process. They're going to get pushed to the right. Their early process is going to push them to the right. At the end of the day, I call myself, I'm a pro-business, fiscally conservative Democrat. I'm socially progressive.
So on the Republican side, do you see any candidate that may be able to articulate a similar message to what you did, and so therefore would be competitive to Secretary Clinton or whomever the Democratic nominee is?
First of all, it's going to be competitive, Jamie. First of all, the press are going to make it competitive. Whether you like it or not, they need a race, as you know. I mean, that's what they do. And listen, we know that, and let them do what they have to do. I just don't think their message resonates. Look what I did in Virginia, open and welcoming. There's nobody on that side that will take the stands that I just talked about. You know, as governor, I want to keep our communities safe. As I say, I'm a hunter. I'm a gun owner. But you know what? Stalkers, domestic abusers, they shouldn't be allowed to own firearms, okay? They'll never say that on the other side. So I think they're going to have a hard time appealing to those folks who want to make sure that, listen, at the end of the day, as governor, my job, first and foremost, keep your communities safe. I mean, I preside in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We had the worst massacre ever done on a college campus at Virginia Tech. So don't talk to me about an NRA letter grade. You can come with me to Virginia Tech and see those memorial that we have, dozens of students who were killed that day. So you got to be able to talk on the issues, which you'll be able to do, to make it open and welcoming. And they're going to have a hard time, especially with the way their primary process is. And the final thing I'd say in this regard, the biggest issue I believe in this campaign is, you know, the economy's moving along. We're out of the Great Recession. But for many people, they don't feel that their own take-home pay, that their own financial condition has gotten better. I saw a very distressing poll the other day. I'm sure you saw it, that parents don't think their children will be as bright as theirs. That's tough. Yeah. So who can address that issue of making sure that when we're rising economy, that everybody's rising, good wages and good benefits. And with Hillary, as you know, I mean, her own mother was abandoned by her parents. So Hillary always understands that young people need a guardian. They need pre-K, early childhood development, they need health care. She has been her whole life a fighter on the issues from her time in the Senate, First Lady. You know, she got out of a very prominent law school, as you know. She could have gone to New York and made big bucks. She chose not to do that. She chose instead to help out with public service. It's ingrained in her DNA. She grew up in a middle-class family, and she will never forget it. And she wants everybody to have that shot at the American dream like she has.
I am looking forward to having Secretary Clinton on Chair Chats. But, Governor, let me tell you, you are the hardest working governor in America and most energized. Yeah. And we thank you for being a part of Chair Chats.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the great work you're doing for the party.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you. And thank you. And you're always welcome at Chair Chats. On the next Chair Chats, there was in one article that I read that it said that you said when you first ran, you sat in your car and you didn't want to knock on doors and meet people when you were running for mayor. So what's changed?
I kind of grew up with it, but I'd never actually gone and knocked on a door for myself. And so that moment when I sat in my car with my brochures that I had, yes, it took me a while to, I was concerned that they might yell at me, get off my lawn, what are you doing? But when I finally knocked on the door, as the article said, it took me a time to screw up my courage. The woman that answered the door, I remember it, was so relieved that I wasn't trying to sell her anything or change her religion. I was just asking for her vote. And from then on, I've never worried about it since.